Wednesday, April 10th, 2019. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mahi City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another day of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you, and don't forget that today is actually National Siblings Day. Yes, National Siblings Day, also referred to just as Siblings Day, is observed each year on April 10th. It is a day created to honor our brothers and our sisters. Yes, those siblings that we love and sometimes we don't always love, if you know what I mean. They are sometimes our best friends. They are sometimes our worst enemies. At times, siblings do provide us with our biggest competition. They might give you your strongest encouragement, but they might also remind you of your most embarrassing moments. Isn't that just what siblings do? It's what they always do. Of course, we have seen a number of very successful siblings in the world of sports. Seth and Steph Curry are both playing at a high level in the NBA. The Plumleys, the Lopezes, we see them both in the NBA as well. Kurt and Kyle Busch battle every single week in NASCAR. Don't forget about BJ and Justin Upton in Major League Baseball. We saw the Klitschkos dominate the heavyweight boxing division for a number of years. Jim and John Harbaugh both coached in Super Bowls. Venus and Serena Williams changed the world of women's tennis completely. And of course, Eli and Peyton Manning both won Super Bowls as starting quarterbacks. But we also have siblings like Cheryl and Reggie Miller, who both played pro basketball. And I'm not sure in that household if Reggie ever beat Cheryl all that much. I have a feeling Cheryl probably held her own. We've had the Berries, the Gasols, the Boones, and the Gronkowskis. Like I said, your siblings do know your secrets. Your siblings can be your biggest fans, and your siblings can also be a huge pain for you every single day. Hey, they know the dumb things you did. They can bring those up. They can tell other people that maybe weren't there just how stupid you were as a kid. I mean, imagine the dumb things that the Gronkowskis know about each other. And I bet they have some stories. And I'll bet a lot of them are really dumb stories. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show and maybe tell us your best sibling story, we would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. If you've got a question, if you've got a comment, if you have a suggestion for us, those are some quick ways to get a hold of us. We would love to hear what it is you have to say. Also, make sure you stop by tpublic.com and pick up some Daily Dose gear. We do have our Daily Dose iTeam shirts over there now. Couple of different styles you can go with. And we still have our original Daily Dose gear over there as well. So if you want a t-shirt, a sweatshirt, a hoodie, head over to tpublic.com. Pick whatever color you want. Get your Daily Dose gear ordered. Plus, they do have some other items. They've got stickers. They've got laptop covers. They've got cell phone covers. A number of Daily Dose things that you can get at tpublic.com. Make sure you stop by there. Hey, today on the show, got a couple of news stories coming out in the world of sports we definitely need to cover. But then, we need to get to our Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings this week.
Hump Day!
And talk about a sport that we haven't been talking about quite as much lately. But we do need to start talking about it again because we have a major event coming very, very soon. Let's touch on a couple of things in the world of breaking news first, though. Of course, the big story of the day is that Magic Johnson announced Tuesday night that he is stepping down as the Los Angeles Lakers president of basketball operations. You know, Johnson made the announcement at an impromptu news conference held before the Lakers' final game against the Portland Trailblazers in LA. Johnson said, "I want to go back to having fun." He said he had not told Jeannie Buss, the team's controlling owner, or general manager Rob Pelinka of his decision. "I knew I couldn't be face to face and tell her," he said of Buss, saying he loves her like a sister. "I couldn't stand to tell her." Now, Magic had just taken the Lakers job in February of 2017 after the team had fired Mitch Kupchak as their general manager and removed Jim Buss as executive vice president of basketball operations. But Johnson said his position with the Lakers just didn't allow him to be a statesman of the game of basketball, and he wants to get back to his life away from that Lakers job, saying at the press conference, "I was happier when I wasn't president." Okay, Daily Dose listeners, here is a question for you. Who out there had Luke Walton outlasting Magic Johnson in the pool? Anyone? I mean, I sure didn't. Then again, I didn't think Bobby Brown would outlast Whitney Houston either. But, I mean, here we are. So, I guess we can now add Magic Johnson to the list of things that LeBron James has ruined. Let's think about this for a minute. Let's think of the things that LeBron James has now ruined. Let's see. Chris Bosh, Kevin Love, announcements taking place at boys and girls clubs across America. Let's see, what else did he ruin? The Cleveland Cavaliers, David Blatt, of course, the Miami Heat, the Cleveland Cavaliers again, Mike Brown, now the Los Angeles Lakers, Magic Johnson, and don't forget Space Jam. Well done, LeBron James. You know, dude is actually leaving quite the trail of carnage in his wake. Oddsmakers in Las Vegas like the Virginia Cavaliers to repeat as NCAA men's basketball champions next year. Gotta think about that a little bit. Caesar's Palace was the first sports book to post odds and installed Virginia as the favorites at 5-1. This was actually posted prior to their overtime victory in Monday night's title game. Runner-up Texas Tech was actually quite a ways down. They were at 30-1. The Westgate Las Vegas Superbook then followed by making Virginia and the Kentucky Wildcats co-favorites at 7-1 odds. After Virginia, Duke and Kentucky have the second best odds at Caesars Palace at 8-1, followed by Gonzaga at 10-1. Michigan State is at 12-1. Here is what Matt Lindemann, manager of trading at Caesars, had to say. Virginia's only loss to graduation is big man Jack Saul. So they will be stacked again next year if no one leaves to the NBA. You always have to stay conservative with Duke and Kentucky until you know who is leaving and where the unsigned recruits are going. I'd much rather open too low and bump a team when guys leave than open too high and take a sharp bet when they unexpectedly come back to school. And you know, when I hear this, when I hear that Virginia is being installed that high, and when I hear this guy saying, hey, Virginia's only loss to graduation is just Jack Saul. Other than that, you don't have to worry about anything. This is just another example of Las Vegas convincing people to come drop some nonsensical money that they are never going to see again on a bet that is probably never going to happen. They are telling us, hey everybody, Virginia returns basically everyone. I mean, unless they go to the NBA. You know who else returns a ton if no one goes to the NBA? Kentucky and Duke. There's just one problem. Everyone is going to go to the NBA. If they have a chance, they are going to the NBA. Some of these Virginia kids' stock can't possibly get higher. It doesn't really matter what they would do next year. They're never going to get as high as they are right now, because even just sticking around, let's say Virginia does go back to back and they do win it again, we're going to start talking ourselves out of guys like DeAndre Hunter. We're going to start talking ourselves out of Kyle Guy and looking at his flaws and saying, well, I don't know if he can get his own shot off. I don't know if he has enough ball handling skills. We do it every year in every sport. When a kid stays too long, we start to tear them down. It will not surprise me a bit to see 3, maybe 4 of these Virginia kids go to the NBA. But what Vegas is trying to do is cash in on the emotion that so many people are have, especially Virginia fans who are like, we just won it all. Oh, and you know what? We're going to win it all next year. Yeah, you're probably not, because most of these kids are going to jump. It makes business sense for them to jump. But Vegas tries to spin, hey, come on. They are underclassmen. They do have a year or two left. Go ahead and drop some big coin on them, repeating. And don't worry about all that declaring for the NBA mumbo jumbo. That's just nonsense and hearsay. Don't think about that stuff. Come on out. Hey, trust us on this. Virginia is probably gonna win it again. We lose all the time here in Las Vegas. Come on out. You'll be the next big winner. Hey, I'm just warning our Daily Dose listeners, don't believe that hype. Las Vegas does not build all those casinos on losing. One other story. You know, the University of California at Los Angeles doesn't seem to be all that well liked these days, does it? But when you think about it, maybe that's not actually the case. You know, UCLA has been casting their fishing lines into the world of college basketball coaches, but no one has been biting until yesterday. First, UCLA went after Kentucky head coach John Calipari, and they used this bait on their fishing line. This is pretty good. Hey, Cal, we know what you make at Kentucky. How would you like to make less? Yeah, big surprise. John Calipari did not come jumping and running to UCLA. I mean, it's a little bit of an odd strategy, isn't it? And then Kentucky responded. They actually gave Cal a new lifetime contract so that he can stay there forever even when he's done coaching. And, you know, they nudge him out the door and say, hey, Cal, the game's kind of passed you by even more than it already has. Why don't you go ahead and move into an ambassador situation? Then UCLA went after TCU head coach Jamie Dixon. Now, Dixon took some time to think about the job, but then he also said no. TCU said he's not going anywhere. For one, his buyout was pretty big. He didn't feel like paying for it. And two, I'm imagining TCU probably promised him, hey, why don't you do this? Why don't you stay here a little bit? We'll find some ways to get you a little bit more money. Either way, we're going to be better off than UCLA. Then, earlier this week, UCLA targeted Tennessee head coach Rick Barnes. And again, Rick Barnes took some time to consider it, but then he also took a pass. You know, Barnes had already signed a contract extension just in September, running through the 2024 season that was paying him $3.25 million this season, and it's going to increase by $100,000 every year until he is almost at $4 million per year in 2024. But you know, one of the things that Rick Barnes has always made a big deal about is that he wants his assistants and his staff being taken care of financially. He wanted to give them security. And apparently, when he said that to UCLA, UCLA was kind of, we're not sure if we can really get your staff all that much money. We're not sure if we can really give you that job security you want. And as a result, Rick Barnes said, no, you know, I think I'll stay at Tennessee a little bit longer. But don't misunderstand the situation. It isn't that these coaches don't like UCLA. I think they actually love UCLA. And do you know why? Because they keep getting these guys raises. That's a really good reason. Hey, if UCLA would have offered me the job, I would be glad to turn it down if Blog Talk Radio would start paying me more to just turn that down. As a result, I wouldn't hate UCLA for it any more than these three guys do. They love UCLA. Hey, you just got me a nice raise. Thanks. Appreciate it, Bruins. Good looking out. But yesterday, the UCLA Bruins finally convinced a head coach to take their job. Cincinnati head coach Mick Cronin is going to move out west and take over in Westwood. Cronin, who led the Cincinnati Bearcats to 9 consecutive NCAA tournament appearances, has agreed to a 6-year, $24 million contract with the University of California at Los Angeles. Cronin does replace Steve Alford, who was fired back on New Year's Eve after 5-plus seasons at UCLA. He did lead UCLA to 3 Sweet 16 appearances in his time there, but as of lately, Alford had kind of fallen off the map and he had some internal struggles there. Didn't sound like he was getting along all that well with some of the people at UCLA. Hey, Mick Cronin can coach. No question about that. And I actually think he probably was the best candidate for UCLA. Here is the one thing that I wonder. I want to hear UCLA say, hey, Mick Cronin is going to be starting here at UCLA. We just want everyone to know he was our first choice all along. We never looked at anyone else. This was the guy we had targeted all along. If you're Mick Cronin, how do you feel? Like, I know you just got the UCLA job and you've got to be at least a little bit excited about that. But at the same time, aren't you kind of going, really? Fourth? And fourth that I know of, I might have been sixth or seventh. I don't even know who all else you talked to. I just know for a fact you talked to at least 3 others. Fourth? Really? Come on, man. I'm better than that. I took Cincinnati to the tournament. You couldn't come and talk to me at least, I don't know, first or second? If you're Mick Cronin, you have to feel a little bit slighted, don't you? Hey, coming back, I know that the NFL season isn't for a while. Like, we've got some time before the NFL season gets here. But do not forget, the NFL draft is coming up later this month. We might as well start looking forward to the NFL season just a little bit, right? Because honestly, I mean, you know, why not? Hey, just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping you need to do, whether it's for yourself, maybe you have birthdays coming up, maybe you have holidays coming up, just remember, you might want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, your favorite movies, and your favorite video games. April's Loot Crate theme is now out. It is called Showdown. When the time for talking is over and there are scores to be settled, these pop culture heavy hitters are always ready for a showdown. Hey, join us as we celebrate iconic battles with epic gear. April's Loot Crate theme features items from Captain Marvel, Aquaman, and Godzilla, King of the Monsters. But remember, if none of those franchises interest you, you can always go over to Loot Crate. You can choose from a selection of crates. You can get a monthly subscription of crates that'll arrive in your mailbox every month. Or you can just go over there and order individual items. And remember, they have a ton of things in any franchise that you can think of. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, make sure you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order just as a little thank you for listening to the Daily Dose. So on Wednesdays, we like to do something here at the Daily Dose where we get some real numbers involved, not so much opinions, but just put together a list and see what the stats or what the numbers tell us. Today, we have our Daily Dose Hump Day rankings.
Hump Day!
And we are looking at NFL schedules. I know every single year we see teams that were in the playoffs just last year drop out of the playoff position. And we see other teams that struggled, couldn't even make the postseason. Suddenly, they are in the playoffs. They might even be winning a game and contending. And while some of it can be, you know, the addition or the subtraction of key players, maybe it was just the injuries. But then again, some of it is no doubt the strength or, yes, even the weakness of their schedules. So, which NFL teams this year are going to be facing the toughest and easiest schedules in 2019? Of course, we know some of this is just how tough your division is. Because that is six of your games on your schedules, and by the same token, if you play in a soft division, you're going to have a much easier go of it. So, which teams had better bring it this year because their schedule is going to be daunting? Let's take a look at the NFL teams with the toughest schedules. And again, this is based on last year's record. Coming in at number five is a team that looks like they could be on to making some strides as a franchise because the Chicago Bears have a solid defense and a young quarterback in Mitch Trubisky. But playing the fifth toughest schedule in the league, it's going to be unforgiving. And so will the loss of running back Jordan Howard. Remember, it was deemed that Howard did not fit into head coach Matt Nagy's offensive scheme, so they shipped him out. Also, don't forget, the Bears did lose their defensive coordinator, Vic Fangio, who took the Denver Broncos head coaching job. Now, Chicago doesn't have much in the way of high draft picks this year. Oh, and by the way, they also still don't have a kicker quite yet. Now, they have some good pieces on this team, but playing the fifth toughest schedule, that's going to be a little bit tough for Chicago. We'll see if they're good enough to overcome that. Coming in with the fourth toughest schedule this next season is a team that was feeling really good about the way they rebounded this past year and won the AFC South with an 11-5 record. Because the Houston Texans actually started the season 0-3, but then they won 9 games in a row. The Houston Texans won 11 of their final 13 regular season games. That's pretty amazing. The Texans' run game improved. Their defense was very stingy. They allowed less than 20 points a game. But then we had that playoff game, and they got smoked at home by a divisional rival. They got beat by the Indianapolis Colts, and it kind of ended things on a little bit of a sour note. Now, the Texans have a couple of things they need to deal with. Jadeveon Clowney had that franchise tag slapped on him, which nowadays in the NFL is deemed a major insult, so they need to try to broker a long-term deal with him. We don't know if he's going to come to any preseason stuff or if he's going to sit out and be a pain. And they did lose safety Tyrann Mathieu and cornerback Kareem Jackson to free agency. The Texans should be okay, but a tougher schedule? Yeah, you might not be winning 11-13 like you did last year. Houston is going to be very interesting to watch. Moving up to number three, and this team was maybe the most disappointing team in the NFL last year because the Jacksonville Jaguars had gone to the AFC Championship in 2017. So expectations were very high last year, But of course, quarterback Blake Bortles was beyond horrible. And it wasn't just Bortles. The defense was very inconsistent. Running back Leonard Fournette acted like a prima donna. Who knows what the Jags are going to do with cornerback Jalen Ramsey. But the Jaguars did go out and sign free agent quarterback Nick Foles, and everyone is hoping that he is going to turn this team around. I guess we're going to see. I just keep remembering that Nick Foles was a very inconsistent quarterback until he played for Doug Peterson with Philadelphia. Hey, Foles is going to have his hands full with this roster, but he's also going to have his hands full because the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to play a much tougher schedule this year. Their opponent record is going to be .531. That's going to be pretty unforgiving. Coming in with the second toughest schedule in the NFL this next year is a team that is desperately, desperately trying to ruin my life. Because my Denver Broncos need an easier schedule, not a tougher one. The Broncos have a new head coach, and they have a number of flaws on this team that need to be addressed, and I don't think they're being addressed. They still don't have a long-term answer at quarterback. I don't even know if they have a short-term answer at quarterback with Joe Flacco, for that matter. The offensive line sucks. The defense is very soft up the middle. The tight ends are always hurt. The defensive backfield is getting thin. I mean, other than that, yeah, things are great here in Denver. New head coach Vic Fangio is going to have his work cut out for him. And I think he actually has a lot of discipline issues to work on, because this team in the past 2 or 3 years has made a ton of mental mistakes. It is just the way they kind of carry themselves. They don't carry themselves like a championship team. How many championship teams do you see just getting penalties for having too many men on the field? The Denver Broncos do it all the time. How many of the top teams do you see? Think of like the New England Patriots. Think of even like a Philadelphia, a Kansas City, the Rams. How many of those teams are just constantly taking dumb penalties, making silly, unforced errors? Again, the Broncos do it all the time. So Vic Fangio is going to have to be on his game this year and make sure he straightens a lot of things out. I do think Vic Fangio can improve this defense, but the Denver Broncos offense is a mess, and the second toughest schedule, thanks to the fact that their division is going to be very challenging, you've got to play Kansas City and the Chargers twice each. That's not going to help the Denver Broncos. And as a result, that's not going to help me be in a better mood. My Denver Broncos are probably going to struggle this year because they play the second toughest schedule in the NFL. So who will be facing the toughest schedule this year in the National Football League? Well, it's a team that has been making a lot of, let's just say, interesting moves. The Oakland Raiders have signed wide receiver Antonio Brown, despite the fact they told us they wanted to start spending their money a little more wisely. That's kind of interesting. You go get a wide receiver that has a ton of attitude and wants a huge guaranteed contract. I mean, I guess that's one way to spend your money. They also grabbed wide receiver Tyrell Williams and spent money on him. Then they grabbed linebacker Vontaze Burfict, who should, I don't know, be getting suspended literally any minute now because that's, you know, just how he rolls. The Raiders went 4-12 last year. They traded away linebacker Khalil Mack and wide receiver Amari Cooper, which to me doesn't seem that conducive to creating a good locker room chemistry. Because you know, there are a number of members on that team saying, wait a second, we had two hardworking, talented guys and you guys gave them away? You traded them away for more draft picks? What about me? What's that mean to me? I'm not as good as Khalil Mack is. Why am I going to go out here and work hard? If I do well, I'm probably going to get traded away. We will see if head coach John Gruden can get his players to buy in and commit, despite the fact that from everything we're hearing, and more importantly, everything we're seeing, kind of seems like John Gruden wants to replace everyone on this current roster by the time this team moves to Vegas. And none of this is going to be easy, considering the fact that the Oakland Raiders are going to be playing the toughest schedule in the NFL. We'll see if they can figure some things out and maybe improve in that draft. They've got some high picks. The key for the Raiders, can they do anything with those high picks? We know that hasn't always been the case. Hey, the best draft picks they've had, I'm trying to think who they were. Oh, that's right. Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper. They're gone. Okay, so there are the toughest schedules in the NFL this coming season. But which teams are going to catch a break and play an easier slate of games. Now remember, while your schedule is based on how good you were, your division and your division rotation is a key factor as well. Now, does the league need to rethink these schedule things? Maybe. I'm just not sure how you would do that. Because the division rotation thing is just kind of hit or miss. Sometimes you get the easy schedule, sometimes you don't. It is all very cyclical. Sometimes your division is good, sometimes it's not. But you'll see what I mean here in a second. Sometimes when we look at these NFL schedules, you're going to go, wait a second. Why are they getting the easy schedule? Why did the Oakland Raiders get the toughest schedule? They finished 4-12. I don't know what the NFL could do with this, but it does make you think about maybe they should change this process at least a little bit. So let's look at the easiest schedules for this upcoming season. And we actually have five teams tied with the second easiest opponent record in the league. And the first team on our list here started off very strong last year, but then they fell apart in pretty much every way possible. The Cincinnati Bengals started the season last year 4-1, and then the wheels came off. And then they won just two more games the rest of the way. The defense was bad. The offense was worse. Quarterback Andy Dalton was awful. They had injuries. And at the end of the season, the Cincinnati Bengals actually fired head coach Marvin Lewis, which I was really beginning to think would never happen in our lifetime. But now the Bengals have hired 35-year-old Zach Taylor. They're in a really weird position though. Do they tear down what they did have? Do they kind of try to start over? Because they do have a few guys that are due some big contracts. Or do they try to band-aid this thing together and see if they can't win a few games? The Cincinnati Bengals have some tough personnel decisions coming, but at least they have a soft schedule this next year, which should help them look a little bit better. Also tied with a soft schedule is another team that struggled last year because the New York Giants finished with a 5-11 record. And they have already traded away one of their most dangerous weapons. They shipped wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. out to Cleveland, and they really didn't get a ton in return for him. The biggest question for the New York Giants, who did go out and sign wide receiver Golden Tate, and don't forget they do have explosive running back Saquon Barkley, what will they do at quarterback? We know what they're saying. We're going to give it to Eli Manning for another year. But do the New York Giants go out and use one of their draft picks on a quarterback? Do you go get a Dwayne Haskins? Do you go get a Kyler Murray? Do you go get a Daniel Jones? Or do you ride it out for another season and not have anyone learning under Eli Manning? And Eli, we know he hasn't been great. Don't forget though, that Giants defense, which we've come to expect as just being solid every year, yeah, they were pretty awful too. Good thing they have an easier schedule this year. Maybe that allows Eli to hold on to his job for a little while longer, but I don't know if that's a good thing. Next up, tied for the second easiest schedule are the New York Jets and their fancy new uniforms. Yes, the Jets unveiled their 2019 uniforms last week because they are junking those classic 1968 influence uniforms. And they are going with more modern looking uniforms. You know, ones that resemble what they wore in the 80s. So now, when you look at Sam Darnold, instead of thinking, you know, I don't know, Joe Willie or something like that, now you'll think more of maybe Richard Todd. Aww. I'm actually not hating on the Jets uniforms. I mean, you're the Jets. How good are they going to look? But the Jets went 4-12 last year, and they have a number of holes that they're going to need to fill. They don't have much in the way of skill position players. The defense took a significant step back last year. Oh, and by the way, the Jets fired head coach Todd Bowles and hired former Miami Dolphins head coach Adam Gase. I mean, at least Adam Gase gets an easy schedule this first year. Of course, some of the reason it is easy is because he gets to play the team that he left a huge mess twice. He gets to play the Dolphins twice. So, I mean, that helps. Let's move on to another team tied in this position. All these teams, by the way, are tied with an opponent's record of .473, second softest in the NFL. But next up are the defending Super Bowl representatives from the NFC, as the Los Angeles Rams will play the second easiest schedule next year. How does that work exactly? Well, because they play in the NFC West. So they get to play the San Francisco 49ers and Arizona Cardinals twice each. But then, this year, the NFC West will be playing the AFC North and the NFC South. So the Los Angeles Rams kind of have a perfect storm brewing that should allow them to pick up some easy wins. And the Rams have to be looking at this year as Super Bowl or bust, because free agency is about to hit them very hard after this year. Can the Rams do what so many teams cannot do? It is really, really tough to lose a Super Bowl and then bounce back and be better the next year. Doesn't happen often. Now, the Rams could be the exception to that rule, but historically we have seen you don't usually lose Super Bowls and come back better. Lucky for them, they have a very soft schedule. They are tied at number 2. The final team, tied for the second easiest schedule, is, of course, who else? The defending Super Bowl champion, New England Patriots. Must be nice, huh? A year after winning it all, the New England Patriots will come back to, again, play the AFC East schedule, but then they also get to play the AFC North and the NFC East, and we know that playing in their mess of a division always helps. Now, the Patriots still need a defensive coordinator, and they have lost their starting left tackle for the second year in a row. There are some signs out there that the foundation in New England could be cracking, but they still have Tom Brady, and they still have Bill Belichick, and they play the second softest schedule in the NFL. So I don't think they're going anywhere yet, but it is probably coming at some point. It has to come at some point, doesn't it? But again, when you look at the Rams and the Patriots, they both get to play the second softest schedule in the NFL. I don't know what the NFL can do about this, but you might have to think about it a little bit, don't you? Finally, we have the number one team that will be facing the softest schedule in the NFL. And honestly, I don't feel bad about this one bit. They deserve it. Based on team records from last year, the Washington Redskins are going to face the softest schedule in the NFL. And honestly, that is a team that deserves a little good fortune. Because don't forget, Washington lost not one quarterback last year to a broken leg. They lost 2, as both Alex Smith and Colt McCoy broke their legs. And Smith's was actually really, really scary. The Redskins did trade for quarterback Case Keenum. Most likely he's going to be battling with McCoy for the starting spot. Washington had been at least in the hunt for a playoff spot before Alex Smith went down last year. I don't know, maybe they could rebound? Maybe they could battle for a playoff spot? It is going to help a lot that they have this soft, cushy schedule. They deserve a little good luck though, don't they? After what they saw last year, I don't feel that bad that Washington actually gets the softest schedule. Hey, I know the NFL season seems to be way, way off. But like I said, don't forget, the NFL draft is just 2 weeks away, so we had to start thinking a little bit about the NFL season and what we might expect this next year. We will, of course, be getting you ready for the NFL draft here on The Dose, and we'll be recapping what does happen when the NFL draft does get here. Hey, tomorrow on The Dose, we will, of course, be bringing you the latest and greatest in the world of sports news. And as we do on many Thursdays, we just might have a few sports media overreactions for you as well. Hey, I have to say thank you all so much for listening to and for sharing the show. We appreciate that so much. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts and the tweets. Don't forget to stop by tpublic.com and pick up some of that Daily Dose gear you know you need in your life. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Wednesday.